Welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, April 1st, 2025. Happy April. Happy April. Happy real spring. You know, it's kind of funny. March was a very dry and warm month, which is unusual. I mean, usually here in Colorado, March and April, we still get snow. And I have a feeling it's coming because that warm, dry, somebody called it May and March weather is kind of came to an abrupt end last Friday when we finally had some rain. And we had rain. Sorry about that noise. I'm just trying to get my mouthpiece right on my headset. We finally had rain, good substantial rain Friday night and last Saturday, and it's been really cool since then. It was like 34 degrees this morning when we went for a walk, so we're back into kind of a normal pattern, and hopefully someone else says we're supposed to have more moisture this week. It's been very cloudy and cool, which is great, but you know, of course, last month I was just waiting for another, you know, for a spring snow and waiting for moisture. And you know how you kind of, well, me, I have to speak personally. I found myself getting attached to that. Let's just put it that way. You know, it was like, oh, come on, let's have some snow. Oh, there's supposed to be snow. In fact, I had my lawn aerated, and the company that I use does a liquid aeration like they do on golf courses. And it's really effective. I've had them do it for several years now. And so they spray on the aeration fluid, the amendment, soil amendment, plus they overseed. So there's grass seed in there and fertilizer. So it's really, within a couple of days, my grass was green, getting green, even without water, you know, without rain, because it's too early to have sprinklers going this time of year, because again, it's just not predictable, not till the end of April and first part of May. And we've even had a major snowstorm like the last week of May a few years ago. So anyway, after I had that done, I had it done on the 17th. I had it done on St. Patty's Day because it was supposed to snow that following Wednesday, which didn't happen. So finally, I realized what I was doing and that I was a little too attached to it, and I let it go, because you know what? I don't know how to make it rain. I don't know. And when you try to control something you don't know how to do, especially like weather, you suffer. I mean, when we're attached to anything that we have no control over, we suffer, period. So I found myself suffering, like just being anxious, just being, you know, attached, simple word, attached. So I finally surrendered it. And honestly, that was a couple of days before we had that terrific rain over the weekend. So, you know, but the interesting thing about it was my grass was getting greener. Flowers are coming up, even, you know, regardless of no rain. So I figure, you know, everything out in that yard, the grass, the flowers, the trees, the dirt, everything is source. God is. God fills all space. There's nothing outside of that. So I figured if God source is everything, then it can take care of it. And that's when I was really able to surrender. It's like, okay, it's yours anyway. It's yours and it's you. So go for it. I have to leave it alone because I can't do anything about it. So anyway, then the rain came and the weather's cooling down, and it just feels a whole lot more like spring and like it should this time of year. But rain is miraculous. It just revitalizes everything, especially people's moods. Because everybody was like, oh my gosh, it rained. This is heaven. This is heaven. But like I said, when you can't control something, detach and it'll take care of itself. It really does. It happens every time. And I know that. I know that. I just, you know, need to remind myself at times. But anyway, that's my little weather report and brief lesson on detachment. So as always, I'm very happy to be with you today. Thank you again for listening, however and whenever you do. If you're listening live today, and you can, just join us in the chat room. Go to 12radio.com and click chat. Feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment, and I'll answer them after the show through the chat room. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 1-2-listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning, Pacific, into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a call back request. I'll be notified immediately and I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. We have reduced rates a few times a week on 1-2-listen, meaning reduced rates on calls and chats, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And of course, we, you know, new moon, full moon, 1-2 day, and holidays we celebrate. So if you want to be notified of our specials, go to 1-2-listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions, which means you just leave your email address. And I still have, and will have through April, my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session. And again, spring, boy, if you're in a place where there are seasons, where there is spring, spring is springing. And I mean to the tune of daffodils and flowers, you know, not just stuff starting to come out of the ground. It's just a season of change, positive change, and it's a season that absolutely symbolizes new beginnings. So the purpose of this time-based session is to basically just release limiting beliefs, limitations, stuff in our space. We just pick up stuff all the time because we and everything else is the same thing. Anything that would impede or get in front of you making use of the momentum of the season, this season of spring, which is forward motion and openness and new beginnings and bright and beautiful things. So, you know, we get rid of the stuff that's in the way of that, and you're available. You're available for new opportunities, and you're available for the energy that is spring, which is creative and fire. It's just fire. So anyway, that's what that's about. My You Empowered Intuitive Feng Shui classes, we will have class 3 this week, and it's been so much fun. It's been really fun to teach them. But the class this week, this Thursday night, is on the relationship areas of the Bagua. And I have to say, this is my very favorite class to teach because, you know, the prosperity areas were great and that was a cool class. I love teaching that. But everything in life is relationship. Everything. Everything. And so we'll talk about different kinds of relationships and the different areas that promote different kinds of relationships, to include support from people, service people, as in mechanics, that kind of service people that I'm talking about, what you need when you need it, you know, to nurture that area so that you have people that support you in very practical ways. And we'll spend probably quite a bit of time on your bedroom, because whether it's in the relationship area or gua or not, it is the most important room in your house, because the most and actually the primary relationship that you want to nurture is with yourself and taking care of yourself, because you're it. You're all you have to give the world. So we'll talk about that and the master bedroom, or master bedroom, or if not master bedroom, whatever the case is for you, your bedroom where you sleep. Its purpose is to support you and to be your sanctuary for revitalization and rest. And we will cover what contributes to that as far as enhancements and what does not, and cures for what does not. So anyway, it really is my very favorite. And I'm almost thinking it may fall into the fourth week as well. I don't know. That fourth week is becoming fluid. The fourth class, the last class, I'll address students' specific questions about their houses, and we'll talk about that, cover the health area, and then whatever else I am led to cover. You know, we're going to let that one be a little more free form, I think, because I was initially going to talk more about fame and reputation, but I will talk about that in the relationship class. So that probably will have been covered by the time we get to week 4, but working on health, which is not just health, but it's in the center of the Bagua, and it covers every other life situation not covered in the other areas. So I think that's where we'll spend our time and talk about different things more in depth and answer questions. But anyway, the first two classes, the basics, the basic principles, and the prosperity areas of the Bhagavad are available as email-based services on One2Listen. So anyway, I hope you join me Thursday night. This is going to be, it'll be good, and it's just really important. You know, we don't realize just how much life is relationship. And when we nurture that and support that, it just fosters success. In every single area, it fosters success. So anyway, there's no prerequisite for these classes. You can register for one or the last two and get the other ones as email-based services, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. As always, I want to remind you of the gratitude board on One2Listen. You just post what you're grateful for. One2Listen.com, and the advisors of One2Listen add our intention to yours. We moderate that board. You can post anonymously, so why not do it? You know, agreement is rocket fuel for what you are wanting to bring into your life. And the more you celebrate what is in your life, the more you're grateful for what is in your life, the more you'll have to be grateful for. That's how it works. Gratitude's a powerful vibration. Powerful. And I want to thank you as always for listening. You know, however and whenever you do, there is programming 24/7 on One2 Radio, and there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at one2radio.com. You can download them anytime you want for free. And, you know, just take advantage. One2 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. And right now, I just want to thank Serena for producing my show today. And I'm taking a breath here. I've been speed talking. Let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Spark in the Night by Singh Kaur. This is from the Celtic Lounge 2 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. Thanks for being here. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You're listening to Empowerment. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I thought that was a lovely song. So today the topic of the teaching segment is permission. And the reason why I want to talk about that is that it's a vibration that's a really, really important vibration, but it's a much bigger subject than it might sound. So I'm going to start by revisiting some information that I've shared before from Alan Watts, and it's a comparison. It's from a seminar called Following the Taoist Way, an Alan Watts seminar. This is not verbatim, but it's a comparison between Confucianism and Taoism. And so that's where I want to start. But the big overall heading is permission. So kind of keep that in the back of your head. He said there are two principal components of Chinese thought, Taoism and Confucianism, and they play a curious game with each other. Confucianism has been one of the most successful philosophies in all history for the regulation of governmental and family relationships. It is concerned with formality and ceremony and has been criticized by the Taoists for being unnatural. The two philosophies balance each other out. Roughly speaking, Confucianism is for people involved in the world, and Taoism is for people who get disentangled from the regular lifestyle. The people who go along with the pattern, meaning they go to college, have a career, get married, have a house, have a car, children, etc., correspond to Confucianism. But there are other ways to live, and people who are bohemians or beatniks, now remember he did these seminars in the 60s and 70s, and don't go along with the pattern, correspond to Taoism. And I love that. I just love that. Bohemians, that's hard to say. Beatniks and people that don't follow the quote-unquote normal patterns are what I call, a la Stuart Wilde, fringe dwellers. You know, it's my favorite label for square pegs, courtesy of Stuart. And it was through Stuart that I became aware of the Tao Te Ching some 30 years ago. So I love the way things make a circle. You know, it's just amazing to see how one important teacher of mine, you know, flows in with another one. So anyway, back to Alan Watts. He said, in Chinese history, Taoism is a way of life for older people. Lao Tzu means the old boy. Lao Tzu wrote the Tao Te Ching. And the legend is that when he was born, he already had a white beard. So when you've contributed to society, when you've had children and brought them up, you have a certain role in social life. Then you say, now it's time for me to find out what it's all about. Who am I ultimately? Behind my outward personality, who am I? What is the secret source of things? This is something to do when you've finished with the family, quote unquote, the family business, meaning having a family, doing all of that. And that's not to say that younger people can't study the Tao. It's just how it was thought of back then. And I just want to interject something here too. In Hinduism, they're called, householders. It went out in my head. It's called householder, that period of life when you get married, have a family, work. They were called the householders. And they had a tremendous responsibility because not only did they work, raise a family, but they were also most likely spiritually minded and went to, as Eknath Iswaran called them, the forest academies. They would just go and stay for a little while, but then they'd go back, like a little retreat, so to speak, and learn from like the sages of the Upanishads, or, you know, from teachers and gurus out in the forest. And then they went back to being householders. That was their duty. And it was really massive. I mean, that was a really important role because once a person, once a person established their own family, then they became responsible for their parents as well as their family that they were raising. And any person who came to them that needed anything from them, it was their duty to do it for that person, no matter what. So anybody that came to the door was treated as if they were God. And, you know, it was your duty to show up, basically, in my words, for anyone and everyone, and be responsible for everything as a householder. So then when you outgrew that, when your children grew up and they had their families and you got older, then you were able to do what Alan Watts talks of in terms of Taoism. Then people, and I wish I could think of the term, there's a name for it, when they would just sort of leave society, the older people, and they'd go live in the forest. And so it's sort of an interesting comparison. But back to Alan and Confucianism and Taoism, he said Taoism is sort of a safety valve for the regulations of Confucianism. The word Tao means the way or course of nature. There's no supreme lord in Taoism, therefore it differs from all other spiritual philosophies. Lao Tzu said, "The Tao is like water. It always seeks the lowest level, which human beings abhor." And what that means is it's absolute non-resistance. That's what the Tao is, like water. Water doesn't resist. It just goes. It just follows the path and goes where the lowest level, where it can sit or do or whatever. But it keeps flowing. It just keeps flowing. And he said the Tao is not something different from us or nature. It is the way it all behaves. So the Tao is synonymous with life, source, God, the universe. It just is. It can't really be explained because it just is. And in the Tao, it says to be and not to be mutually arise. Yes and no, light and dark, mutually arise, and each are experienced only because of their opposites. This mutual arising is interdependence, and that is the Tao. In the philosophy of the Tao, the whole of nature is self-regulating, self-governing organism of which we human beings are a part, that has a totality that all goes together. Everything, self-regulating, self-governing organism that has a totality that all goes together. And that's the Tao. It's all that is everywhere. It is. The Tao is, quote unquote, self-so. What is so of itself? What happens of itself? Spontaneity. It happens like your heart beats. It does it by itself. Imagine a world that happens of itself. No ruler. The Tao does not rule. The more liberty, love, and permission you give to things to take place, to be, the more order you have. The Tao is self-so. So what if we take that? The more liberty and permission you give to things to take place, to be, the more order you will have. That's a fantastic sentence. What if we take that and turn it inward? The more liberty, love, and permission you give yourself to just be yourself, the more order you will have. Think of order as peace, peace of mind. When we try to live according to patterns or rules that simply are not ours, we struggle. We make ourselves miserable trying to fit in when we just don't fit in. And I'm saying that from personal experience, but I think, you know, anybody listening to me can probably relate, you know, with like vibrations. And that can, when we don't fit in, when we're trying so hard and we just don't, it can result in a lot of self-judgment. You know, if we think we are wrong and everyone that fits the pattern is right, especially when we're young and looking outside of ourselves for validation, it's miserable. It really is miserable. To to me, that quote unquote pattern is stiff and restricted and doesn't leave a lot of room for craziness, fun, and freedom and ease. And not to say that everybody who follows the pattern, who you know, does everything that seems to be the right thing to do, doesn't have fun. I know they do. I mean, this is pretty black and white, and I'm not, and it's not black and white. Everybody's an individual, and everyone's path is their path because it's their path, and therefore it's perfect. No matter if it's according to the pattern or if it's a little more outside the pattern. And I am not at all criticizing people that follow the pattern. Honestly, I've always appreciated them because it seemed like life is easier when you do what you're quote unquote supposed to do, right? You get along, you go along, you get along. Stuart Wilde said that incarnation is a heroic journey. When you don't, you know, when you don't fit the pattern, when you're a fringe dweller, the heroic journey of being in the physical plane becomes more heroic because you're bucking the system that is universal consciousness, you know, that is the psychic sea of, you know, everybody's ideas and conceptions of right and wrong, the massive belief in two powers, bad, right, wrong, yes, no, you know, all of that. So we have to nurture our individuality. We have to. And that's so hard to do when you're in that space of thinking your individuality is wrong, you know, or doesn't measure up. And when I say that, I'm talking from personal experience, more from when you're young, you know, when you're young and you're trying to find your way and really dependent on what other people think of you. You know, that's what we take our cues from, right? That's, we're all ego at that place. But we have to nurture individual. First of all, we have to know who we are and then nurture our individuality and our purpose. And at the same time, though, honestly, we have to love and respect the people who will never understand us. We have to, if we want to be accepted, and some of us don't, you know, some people don't care if they're accepted or not. And, you know, in a reasonable way, and what I mean by that is in a way of being a loving human being, then that's terrific. But being, you know, that can also turn into someone who, you know, the pattern of having to prove a point or it can go negative, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know, really letting people know who you are. Well, if you're comfortable in who you are, you don't have to do that. You just are it. So anyway, but loving and respecting other people who honestly just will never understand us is part of the deal. It's really part of the deal. That's part of just being the, you know, the inlet and outlet of source. Like as Lao Tzu said, Tao is like the water. It always seeks the low level, which human beings abhor. The Tao is a way of absolute non-resistance. Non-resistance within and without. Not resisting who we are or who others are. It's just being. It's a way of permission. It is permission. Being true to ourselves is our gift to the world. There are no duplicates, none. And we're here and we wouldn't be here if we didn't have a purpose to serve. We wouldn't. So it's just, you know, it's something to really think about. You know, like I said, there are no duplicates. And who you are is the individualization of source. Being who you are, you know, experiencing the world as you. Experiencing the material as you. Creating the material as you. So, you know, that's not small. There's nothing small about us at all. Alan Watts, in a different lesson on Taoism, talked about the Yetzer Hara, or the wayward inclination. The Webster Dictionary, the definition of Yetzer Hara is the inclination in man to do evil, considered an essential part of human nature in Judaism. Well, Alan Watts calls the Yetzer Hara the element of irreducible rascality that God put in every man. And he said the Hebrew believes that everything God created is good, including the Yetzer Hara. Without it, life would be boring, right? Life would be boring. We would be automatons. So if you, I just love that irreducible rascality, right? There's just, even in the person, I think, that follows the rules to the letter, sometimes I think there's got to be that little element that just wants to rebel. You know, really, that just wants to rebel. I think that's there and probably put away most of the time, but that's what Alan Watts is talking about. If you consider the societal rules of Confucianism, there has to be a counterpart. There has to be a counterpart, and that's Taoism. No rules, the course of nature, which is of itself so. So those are polar opposites, you know, following the rules when you're in the raising a family part of life is important. It's critical. You have to do it. But when that part of life is over and your children are raising their own families, you're in a different place. You're in a different place. You're, quote unquote, a big part of your work is done. You know, you've succeeded. You have your children on their own, maybe raising their families, maybe not, but they're on their own. And you aren't responsible for them. And it's good not to be responsible for them. You're responsible for you, no matter what. But it's good to let them be in their own experience and not infringe on what they're doing. But anyway, that's not part of this. when you're out of that space, though, when that part of your life is over, you're in a really expansive place. And you may not realize it, but you are. You know, whether you're still working or retired, you have a freedom that only comes, I think, with maturity and life experience. And you have a freedom if you realize it and own it, you know? And I think at that point, maybe you can embrace a little more of your own Yetzer Hara, you know, your own irreducible rascality, and enjoy it. And I don't think it's the evil in every man. I mean, evil's a big word. But again, that's in religious terms too, right? I don't think it's the evil in every man, but maybe it's the part of you that just doesn't conform to the rules that you have now that you had to follow when you were younger. You know, that now you can say, I'm not doing that. You know, that was great. I did it. I did it, but I don't want to do that anymore. And, you know, maybe now is when you decide to accept the status of being a fringe dweller and become so comfortable with it that it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You know, and it's not that you go crazy or anything. It's just that you realize that you're interesting and you have so much to offer and you know it. You know it. You're more in touch with who you are as the individualization of source. You're more in touch with who you really are, which is source, which is limitless and infinite, the infinite God mind, you know, that meets every demand. Life, thriving, flourishing life. So, you know who you are, and that's the most important thing. Whether anyone else can have it really doesn't matter. You are free, and you've given yourself permission to be who you are and to not dim your light. Permission is an interesting thing. When you've given yourself permission to be who you are and to be that clear instrument for source to demonstrate through, it's so easy to give everyone else the permission to be who they are and to be compassionate. Judgment and opinions fall away. It's a wonderful, easy space to live in. And I mean that sincerely. It's like, okay, if I'm free to be myself, again, primarily the instrument for Source to demonstrate through, the clear instrument of the Father's appearing, then I understand that I am where I am because of all that's gone before in my life. And rocky roads and smooth roads all combined, but I'm looking at myself and I'm going, that was all right. That happened, and that's just what happened. But then you can look at other people and realize that they're in the same boat. You know, everybody's been along the path that took them to where they are now, just like you have. And so, you know, walk a mile in their shoes, right? Unless you can walk a mile in their shoes, you have no right to judge anyone. And we don't have any right to judge anyone, because judgments and opinions are not truth. They're just based on our filters, you know, our associative mind, what we, you know, what we consider right and wrong, which again, are not truth. They're just judgments and opinions. And judgments and opinions are only true for those who hold them. So if you can be free of them, and kind of back to Joel Goldsmith talking about, you know, the belief in two powers, right, wrong, good, good and evil, all of that. When we let that go, then we see people differently. And that's a tough thing to let go, because that is basically our humanhood, which is a sense of separation from source and ego. So, but the more we become aware of that, the easier it is to see people for who they are now. You know, no matter if you agree with them or not, I'm not saying you have to agree with everything everybody says. You don't. But at the same time, you can just allow them to be where they are, because everybody in every moment is only showing us their state of consciousness, and states of consciousness change. So we're not really seeing that person anyway, and they're not seeing us. So the more compassionate and neutral and fun and loving state of consciousness we can occupy and demonstrate, the better off we are, and the better off everyone else is. Because, you know, what you give, you get. And when you're in that cool space of just being good with yourself, you're good with other people. And that's a really, really cool thing to realize. Really cool thing to realize. So, my personal example, as if you couldn't tell from all that I've been talking about, is being the fringe dweller in my family, in a family of people that, to my view, were pretty much perfect. Not that they were perfect, but what I mean by that is they did everything, quote unquote, right. They got married young. They stayed married forever. They went to college. They did the job they were educated for. Or they worked in the family business. My family in the mountains are ranchers. in other words, they followed the rules. And I didn't, and I still don't. I still don't. I mean, for Pete's sake, I'm a clairvoyant intuitive healer and teacher. I've been self-employed since 1991. You know, I've been married three times. I was the first person in my family to ever get a divorce. I was the square peg, you know, and not just in my family. I've just always been, you know, I've just always kind of been a fringe dweller. I don't know. And that bothered me, you know, for a long, long time, but it doesn't bother me now. Not at all. In fact, I celebrate it. I really do. And not to sound, that sounded terrible. I own it, but I own it. And I'm, excuse me. I've made peace with it. And I own it, and I have no judgment about it. I'm sorry. Sorry to do that in your ear. I apologize. That was weird. I've been doing really well. My voice has been cooperative. There we go. Okay. So as I was saying, it just I got to the point where I've just made peace with not fitting. And now I don't have any judgment about it because it's just me. And it's life's much more comfortable having made peace with it. And honestly, I'm grateful for it. What I do now, this is my dharma. I'm doing what I came to do. And the path might have been crazy, but every bit of it was necessary for my evolution, or it would not have happened. And that goes for all of us. Everything that happened in the past, no matter how old you are, I'm talking from the place of a person who's, I'm in my mid-60s, so I'm talking from this space. But really and truly, if you're 20 years old, everything that's happened to you from the time you were born up until today was necessary for your evolution. You wouldn't be you had you not had those experiences. So there's no mistakes here. And again, there are no duplicates. There are no duplicates. But the thing is, being grateful and understanding and accepting of me, for me, I see the other side. And I realize that following the rules does not necessarily bring happiness. I'm free because I made peace with what's gone before. And I love my life and my work, and I'm honored to do what I do. I had dinner with my sister-in-law a couple of weeks ago, and that's what prompted this teaching segment. My brother travels a lot now. He's sort of maybe in the stage of sort of wrapping up his career, and will retire in a few years. But he travels a lot, and she's on her own a great deal of the time. And his birthday is Saturday or Friday, the 3rd. So I texted her back then to ask when I could swing by and give him his birthday present because they're going out of town for his birthday this weekend. And he was out of town, but she asked me if I wanted to go to dinner. And that was interesting. So I said yes. Now, I set the space for dinner, just I set a grounded, neutral, mutually beneficial, clear conversation space for the time that we were going to be together. And I'll explain why. But we had the nicest time. We had a great time. We had interesting conversation. We went to a restaurant that's new to our neighborhood. Actually it's a second restaurant that's been around. It's a family-owned restaurant, Italian restaurant, and they came and they now are in a space that was a Greek restaurant that Shannon and I went to all the time. It was our favorite Greek restaurant, and they'd been around 38 years. And so and what was a family-owned business. It was just a comfortable place. And it was so cool to walk into Pomodoro and feel that same vibration. Being a family-owned restaurant, the owner was there, the wait staff were wonderful, and it was just a joy. So we had a really great atmosphere to have dinner, and the food was to die for. So everything was working. The atmosphere of the restaurant, the space was set, and we just talked. We just talked. And as I said, she's on her own a lot. And it's interesting because she said she really doesn't enjoy being around her social circle. And I mean, they've got a massive social circle. They just do because of Steve's business. And but she said she doesn't really enjoy being around them because she feels like she doesn't have much in common with them anymore. So here's a perfect example of evolution and what I was talking about previously. You know, you just come into a different phase of your life. Her, you know, her kids are married, and my nephew and his wife have two little kids. And in this time of her life, her focus is on what she and my brother want to do. So she's having a hard time with all the alone time. But again, that'll change. You know, this is what he has to do right now, all the travel, but that'll change. But she's always been a doer and an overdoer for everyone else. I mean, she's the glue. She's on top of it. She's extremely organized. And it's interesting because that's her comfort zone, having something to do, having somebody to take care of. And now it's different. And she has to find her way, like we all do when things change. Like if you change your career, if you lose your job, or if, you know, if you get married, or if you have a child, or whatever it is, you find your way. Life is about finding your way because life is change. But what's interesting is that now she and I have more in common. And that's a first, you know, in 40 some years. Yeah, like 42 years. They've been married 42 years. So our relationship has not been an easy one for me because she was the perfect example of following the pattern. You know, the rule follower, Confucianism, did everything right. As I said, been married over 40 years and was always pretty opinionated and vocal about people who weren't rule followers, you know, who were a little on the outside. My hand goes up. So being the fringe dweller, family gatherings were kind of stressful for me because aside from being family, we really had nothing in common and not much to talk about. I was always walking on eggshells. I always was, and just had this kind of holding my breath. And it's the strangest thing. It's the strangest thing. But I always did that because I wasn't sure. I just didn't, I don't know. I guess I just didn't back then feel like I measured up or something. anyway, my brother's a totally different story. You know, we both act like 8-year-old boys when we get together because we're just silly. We're just silly. No holds barred. We're just silly. And we have a lot of fun together. And we just have a unique relationship. You know, nobody else is included in that. Just he and I. And it is just the two of us in our family anyway, just the two siblings. But but now with my sister-in-law and I, we're both in different places in our lives. And I really could feel compassion for her. She, you know, she's kind of a little lost, you know, and my heart went out to her, and it still does. We had a very honest conversation. We talked for a couple hours, and I was totally myself, not being cautious, not judging my words before I said them, like I always had in the past, but just talking. And we talked about a lot of things. We covered a lot of territory, you know, positive things, good things. And I think that because he's going to keep traveling, I think we'll spend more time together going forward, mainly because we both have permission to be ourselves. I think that's what was established in our dinner a couple weeks ago. And it was great. It was great. So how cool, you know? It was a healing thing, very much a healing thing. So to wrap this up, I think permission is a grace that we have to give ourselves. God is grace. You know, God's given us everything. There's no condemnation of any kind in source, no judgment, no good or evil. There just is, like the Tao, you know. The Tao just is. God just is. Life, capital L-I-F-E, just is. But to give ourselves the grace to be just who we are, and to look at ourselves without judging what's good, what's not good, what's missing, what's not, you know, that's because that's where we go to, you know, what's missing when we look at ourselves in the mirror, you know, what's missing, what don't I know? You know, isn't that interesting? Think about that. We always look for what's missing. Or I think we do. But to just let it all go, let it go. I encourage you to give yourself permission to just look at who you've been in the past and who you are now and make peace with it because it is perfect. There were no accidents. There it truly were no mistakes, but we perceive it that way, you know? So forgive all your mistakes and let go of guilt, let go of shame, let go of all that self-kicking stuff that we do to ourselves. Just let it go. Let it go. Because as Ram Dass says, the time that you spend in guilt and shame, entertaining that, you know, because what you focus on expands. You feel it in your body, and boy, if you spend time there, you really feel it. It just pushes God further and further away. It's not you. The you who made those mistakes in the past doesn't exist anymore. So drop them off your cart. Drop them off your cart. Thank you for joining me today. I hope that was valuable to you in some way. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver and have a very, very blessed week, everyone. Bye-bye.